The reading will be from Matthew, the 8th chapter, verses 26 through 34. My Bible's up here, so that's why I've got this. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. Such is the reading. And after that wonderful reading, who was that guy anyway? So here we are. A lot of people are spending the week giving thanks, or maybe they are, maybe they aren't. Maybe they're just thankful they have a day off. I don't know. But some love the world too much. They put no regard to God. They prefer the ways of the world, and judgment awaits such individuals. Some will do anything to stay in the sloppy mud of sin rather than cleaning themselves up. Would we repent or just drown in a herd of dirty pigs? Title of this lesson is called To Stay on Earth. And as we read in Matthew 8, verses 28 through 24, in verse 28 it says, And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. They were possessed by devils, two men, very fierce, some men that you wouldn't want to mess with. They were in the tombs, which was not a clean place to the Jews to be in. Very fierce, and they see Jesus, and they cry out in verse 29, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come here to torment us before the time? Well, what time was that? Well, they're asking if Jesus was going to torment or torture them before the time, because they had a destination that they knew was coming, and that was eternal damnation. James 2 and 19, it reads, Thou believest there is one God, and thou doest well. The devils, in other words, the demons, also believe and tremble. Why are they trembling? Because they know what they're in for. But they're still evil, and they're not doing anything to prevent this from happening. And Matthew 25 and verse 41 of Matthew 25, it says, Then shall he say to them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then will he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Verse 41, it's a place prepared for the devil and his angels and his demons. It is not a place that's meant for man to be in, and we don't want to wind up in such a place. But the swine, the pigs, are nearby. And the demons that are inside these two men, you know, they're like, you know, are you come here to torture us before the time? And all over there, they see some pigs. And it says, you know, there's a good way off from them, a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him. In other words, the demons were begging Jesus, if you cast us out, if you throw us out of these men, will you let us go into the pigs? To go into the herd of swine. And they wanted to avoid hell so much, even though it was going to be just for a little while. They would rather delay it by staying on earth in the form of pigs. Hell's pretty bad, folks, even for the demons. They don't want to go there either. So in Acts 31, they begged Jesus to be allowed to go in there, and if Jesus chooses to throw them out. If you're going to say, get out of there, would you do that? I feel like I'll be grounded. So here we are. Hell's so bad they'll stay on the earth in any way. So in verse 32, Jesus says, okay. He said to them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. They go into the pigs, and the pigs don't like it, and they stampede, and they go into the water, into the sea, and they die in the water. So what? Why did Jesus let them go into the pigs? Number one, he knew what the pigs were going to do. He knew that he didn't have to destroy them. They would destroy themselves. And it also shows a miracle and his power to the witnesses that see this happen. How many of you have seen people, you know, with this type of demon in them? No, I don't think we've seen that. But if you knew someone like that, you'd notice, right? You would notice that. You know, you would know these people. And you would say, hey, the devil's gone out of them, and they've gone to these pigs, and the pigs have stampeded and gone in the water. And they are now former pigs. Verse 33, the witnesses go, and it says they went, they that kept them, the shepherds of the pigs, fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. They tell everybody about this great miracle that these devils have definitely gone out. But what do they do in verse 34? And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. What do? They say, get out of here, Jesus. We don't want you to kill our pigs. Now, we've talked about farming, and you know, if you farm livestock, probably the least popular person in the world is someone who kills your animals, whether you're herding sheep or cows or pigs or whatever. You don't care for your livelihood being taken away. So don't kill our pigs. Get out of town, please. So what can we learn from this? It's not that long of passage. First lesson is, knowing who Jesus is and what he is and who he is will not excuse anyone from sin. You know, in James 2:19, we read that the demons tremble because they're awaiting eternal damnation. They want to delay hell rather than repenting and avoiding it altogether. They do not wish to give up. And secondly, there is a futility in trying to stay on the earth. You know, we say prayers for those having surgeries. We have the neighbor nearby with bypass surgery. We have people going through cancer treatments. We talk about David and his ongoing. It's basically He's doing those things to stay on earth. And John 12 and verse 23, it reads, "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I into this hour." You know, verse 25, I think it particularly, it says, "He that loves his life is going to lose it, and he that hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal." In other words, we have to remind ourselves what is coming for us. We can go through the chemo. We can go through the surgeries. We can do all those things to keep ourselves alive. We can run 10,000 miles a day. If you did that, you'd probably have stress fractures. I don't recommend that. But also, you can do all the things you're supposed to do. You can eat the best foods, get the right exercise, do everything you can, and you're still going to die. You're going to leave this world. You might leave it a little earlier, or you might leave it a little later. But most people live about 70, give or take 10 to 20 years. And there are people who want to save their mortal lives will find that they might lose their eternal souls. You know, we read in John 15 in the class this morning, you know, Jesus tells his apostles in verse 18 of John 15, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you were not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said to you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. They have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." Jesus is saying, the world hates us because we are not of them. So why do we want to stay here so much? Well, I don't believe in committing suicide, so we take our medications, we try to get a little exercise, but I also see the futility of it. Many of you know, my wife lost one of her younger sisters a couple of weeks ago, buried her a week ago yesterday. And she was a couple years younger than Sheila. She was 54. Sorry, I just gave my wife's age. I'm a bad boy. But when she died, she had had 3 years added to her life due to surgeries and treatments. But the infection that the sepsis that killed her was really a complication of what kept her alive for 3 years. The doctors, in keeping her alive, also killed her. I don't like doctors very much. They don't cure death. They just keep the brakes from going out completely but the train was still going to crash. And those who forsake God so they won't die, I think about that. And all the things they did to keep my sister-in-law alive, she was still going to go. And it was increasingly obvious. And, you know, you go out into the cemetery, and it was down in southern Indiana, near Duggar, Indiana. And if you've been to Duggar, congratulations. I've been through it. I think that was the longest amount of time I've spent in Duggar. And it was, you know, we go out down these country roads, past the coal mines where they blast. You know, it's a different area altogether. They put her in the ground. Winds were coming. They were worried that tornadoes coming. Before the family even left, they had her in the ground. They were taking down the tent. And they covered her up. But I think the most interesting part of it was after the funeral, the sermon given by the preacher. Her husband and told her three kids, his three kids, her three kids too, said, take a good look at your mother's face. This is the last time on this earth that you will see it. But if you are good and you do what God wants you to do, you might see it again in the next world. Now, a couple of them have been very bad. One has repented, and hopefully she'll stay that way. The other one has not. And everybody is saying, well, you need to make your life right. And, you know, to think for that girl, if she dies this day, she'll never see her mother again. Even if her mother didn't make it to heaven, they won't see each other because it'll be a dark place of darkness. You won't see anything again. I think of the Sunday morning joggers and the golfers, you know, who do not pay any heed to the price of the loss of a soul. You know, Matthew 9 and verse 23, it reads, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there shall be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. Also in Matthew 6 and 19 through 21, it reads, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust does corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust does corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your heart? Jesus says, you probably know where your heart is. We need to look at the things that are heavenly. Yep. I don't fault my sister-in-law and her family for trying to prolong her life. I have told Sheila, I said, you know what? When in doubt, give me every breath I'm entitled to. Then you know you haven't murdered me. Yeah, we laugh about it, but you know, I said this in all seriousness. I do not want to be the reason my wife loses her soul or my daughter loses her soul or my family loses her soul. We need to be, it's a serious matter about our souls. You know, Colossians 3, what did Paul write in verse 1? If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. It talks about putting away the things that are on the earth, you know, the sins, the fornication and the uncleanness and the inordinate affections and evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, which things the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. To put off the wrath and the malice and the anger and the blasphemy and the filthy communication from your mouth. Not lying one to another. To put off the old man with his deeds. To put on the new man, it says in verse 10, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. There's a victory awaiting us. And you know what? When you die in this world, it is to be, you know, you look at someone, you say, how pitiful is the sight? But you know what? It's not glamorous. It's not like in the movies where Greta Garbo is wearing all her makeup and just goes to sleep. Often, the appearance of the deceased is horrible. My sister-in-law, due to the great treatments, had her neck was actually technically broken. She was laying like this. She was very weak by what was aimed to try to save her life. Had she recovered from that infection, she would have been in the nursing home for the rest of her life, but she had cancer, which would not have been very long. Sometimes the Lord knows that, you know what, it's time to turn off the machine. It's I'm not talking about us flipping the switch on a machine, but sometimes God says it's time to go. And when God says it's time to go, we don't have much argument. But heaven's our home, not this world. Hebrews 11 and 13, talking about those of faith, it says these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. So how do we go home? I'll tell you, you know, as Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, you know, we all go to our long home. You know, whether you call it a sepulcher or a grave or a coffin or a sarcophagus or whatever you want to call it, it is a little long. And we will go there one day where people will look at the grave 100 years now, 200 years from now and say, who was that? My sister-in-law was buried in an old cemetery, and most of the graves were people who were buried when Woodrow Wilson and William Howard Taft were president. And those are some of the newer graves. And she's towards the front. And it was an interesting place to go. I like cemeteries. I like to see the different designs and how long they've been there. I think it's fascinating. And Sheila's brother was here, and we were talking about maybe we should go to Texas. I said, yes, I need to go to see LBJ's grave, because it's been a long time since I've posed Sheila in front of a dead guy's grave. And Sheila will agree that she has posed in front of quite a few, some of them she'd even heard of. The way to our home, the way to the home in heaven is to hear the word. In Romans 10, it talks about hearing. In other words, listening, taking heed of God's word. And if you believe the word, are you going to believe it? Mark 16, 16, he who believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. In Acts 2, 38, on the day of Pentecost, when the people who just a few weeks before were shouting, crucify him, about Jesus, were pricked in the heart when they realized they had killed the Son of God, saying, men and brethren, what shall we do? And he tells them in verse 38, Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then to confess, you know, in Acts 8, the Ethiopian eunuch made the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. To be baptized, as we just read in Mark 16, 16. In Acts 8, the Ethiopian eunuch, they went down to the water. The watery grave of baptism came right back up. Clean. In Revelation 2:10, to be faithful unto death. Not only does that mean to be faithful until we die, but to be faithful even if it means we die. You want to stay on this earth? And you'll be here. To stay on earth, you know, God has given us great blessings, and I think we ought to be thankful for that. But as we go back to work tomorrow or Tuesday or whenever you go back to work, or if you're retired to do whatever work you do around the house, I'm certain you do lots of work around the house, the time will come when we go to a better place in heaven or a far worse place in hell. What is your choice? And I'll tell you, we want to go to our true home in heaven because, after all, we're much better than a herd of pigs. And that's our lesson. There's an invitation song selected. The invitation applies to you in any fashion. Please come forward, make your wants known while we stand and sing.